So this morning you are having a guest speaker to come and speak to you. His name is Seth. It's pretty close to Eugene's last name. And so I was thinking he would do the message since Seth was unable to stay and bring us the message that we were anticipating. So since he won't do it, I've got to do it. And so I really am not ready because I was planning on someone else preaching this morning. So if I kind of seem a little out of sorts this morning, you'll know why. You won't have any message notes because this is all a surprise to us this morning. We're told in Scripture that we are to be ready in all kinds of seasons to preach the gospel, to share what's on our Lord's mind. And so it's a good thing that I'm going to be sharing a portion of one of the messages that our Lord led me through the 2 weeks I was away. I've called this, I hear some sort of ringing bell. Is there something that we can ding-dong it out? I've named this How to De-escalate Conflict Within the Family. And that can be the church family, for that matter. And it can be in ministry. I have spent my last 37 years de-escalating trouble in families and in the church family and in ministries. So I'd like you to just kind of sit back, open your heart, and if the Holy Spirit starts knocking on it, you might want to sit a little bit forward then in your chair and pay some attention to what he has to say. Conflict in the life of Christians sounds like a word that should be missing in our testimony as followers of the Lord Jesus. But the fact of the matter is, it's there. I've even confessed to you several months ago during our vacation how I had broken Kathy's spirit because of words that we had and the choice of words that I used with her. So conflict is there and can happen to any of us. So when you get your message notes next week, the first one will already be filled in, and it give you just a thought here. If you want a new idea, and the fill-in will be, read an old book. That's what I found as I enjoyed so much being able to once again have my study break. You know, it's just Jesus and me, except on the weekend when Kathy comes up for the visit, and then she goes home on Monday. But I just so enjoy hearing what he has to say, because he has so much to communicate to me from the Word of God. My DPEs are rich, really rich, and that's why I speak about it so often with all of us here in the church family. They have that deep personal experience with the Lord every day. You'll find, as I found, like being away for those 2 weeks, I don't want to come back. I could almost be a Protestant monk because I enjoy so much being with him and listening to him and meditating on passages that he brings across my heart and mind as I'm reading a very old book for new ideas. The Word of God may be 4,000 plus years old, but it is as fresh and new as this morning, family. And you will find this as you too enter into these DPEs that I've been trying to sell you on, because once you're there, you're going to be telling other people about the richness of it. I give another fill-in here. I say a wise man said, quote, "Happiness is when what you think, what you say, and what you do are in harmony." Are in harmony. Now, since I made that statement and have time to think about it, I could come up with something negative if I chose to. But I don't want to go there. I'm thinking in the whole area of that which is positive and optimistic and encouraging, because that's what he is. And that's what he brings into our lives in the DPE. And as you live your life after you walk away from that special time of just embracing him, and you start meeting with people, and you see how your relationship with him begins to flow right through you into their lives, and you become the blessing from our wonderful Abba Father. Harmony, harmony in the life of a believer, and then in the lives that he or she is going to be touching. As I have lived in this world now some 25 year spans, it sounds not as bad as 75 years. And with Jesus now some 54 years, he and his word have taught me so much on how I can better live and relate not only to him, but to you and the other people that I'm going to meet in my journey here in this world. I can promise each of you who engage, I'm talking about take action, engage with his teachings and practice them, you will find real meaning. You will find that you will become very passionate, and you will see your purpose more clearly in this life. Far too many Christians are frustrated, disillusioned, dissatisfied, unhappy, and exhausted. I sincerely want to help those of you who can identify with that statement and to set you free. That's what I want for you, because I know it's what he wants, and he wants you to be happy. My goal as your pastor is to draw your focus away from life in the flesh to you being constantly focused on your life in the Spirit. Wanting the Holy Spirit day by day, each morning, to refill you and to be speaking into your heart and mind, and for you to get excited about the things he is speaking to you and then do them. Because he won't ask you any more than myself to do anything at all that he will not give you the ability to do. He wants you and he to be like this together and happy. I want you to see yourself being set free from ego. I want to see you set free from envy and lust. And today I see a lot of anger. I see it in our church. I hear about it from some of you who are angry with someone because of that cotton-picking, lousy, excuse me, social media that you spend hours on. I would like you, if you would, to take your phone and set that little stopwatch and see how much time you spend on social media. And as soon as you're done, you know, you can go back 5 minutes. But I want you to ask yourself, now how much time have I been DPE? How much time have I been with the Lord, listening to Him, challenged by Him, listening to how much He loves me, and the direction He's pointing me? How much time with Him compared to that amount of time you were on your phone, that amount of time that you were in that social media platform? And you know the social media platform is evil, right? Yet you go to it every day, don't you? Many of you. Family, please. Please. I want to set you free from the anxiety, the anger, the bitterness, and all the other kinds of sins that bog us down. And it's because we invite them into our lives. To follow Jesus' example is not only possible, it's necessary. We need to find calm and stillness and peace in our lives. So focus your mind on Jesus and His character. I ask you sincerely, when was the last time you read through the four Gospels? When was the last time? If it was last month, good for you. Good for you. But if you haven't read through the four Gospels in some time, family, you're doing your spirit a disfavor. Why haven't you read through the Gospels? Why haven't you read and looked at Jesus' character and asked yourself, how am I doing? How am I following after my Lord? People know that I am a Christ follower. Am I? Do they see Jesus? Do they hear Jesus in me? We need to mimic the Holy Spirit. A passage that I will have already taken you to next week when you see it in your message notes is 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. If you have your Bibles open, you might want to follow along because there's one other passage of Scripture I'm going to take you to before my time will probably be done this morning. 1 Corinthians, that first letter to the Corinthian church family, and verse 1, our brother, the Apostle Paul, he says there, be imitators of me. Be an imitator of me as I am of Christ, as I am of the Messiah. Be an imitator. Look at me, hear me. Follow my lead and speak the words of Christ. Live like I do when you notice that I'm living in the Spirit. Don't follow me when I'm living in the flesh. Follow in my example in the flesh and I will lead you into trouble, he's saying. And it's the same for me. For you can say to the, I would hope, the person next to you, the person behind you, be an imitator of me as I follow Christ. If we imitate Paul, we cannot have any conflict. So this is why it's a good idea to read through the Gospels. This is why it's wonderful to continue to be reading through the Word of God, reading Paul's letters, and see how God the Holy Spirit has radically changed this rabbi, this legalistic Pharisee, into a very gracious, loving follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we follow Paul, we'll have no conflict. For example, if we practice his letter to the Romans, turn to Romans, chapter 12 and verses 9 through 11. And if you're new with us this morning, please understand that you can have an electronic Bible. Those are fine too. In Romans 12, verses 9 through 11, the Holy Spirit had Paul share with them as he is sharing it this morning with the Granada Hills Community Church family and guests. He says, don't just pretend to love others. No pretending. No falsehood here. We've been watching the last 4.5 years for sure, right out in front, maybe for decades, but we've been watching fake news. Fake so many things. But we see a fake love in the church of our Lord Jesus in the United States as well. It is not a love that is agape. It is not a love that seeks the neighbor's best, the other neighbor's highest good, at our expense. It is due for me, and I will consider whether or not I will do something for you. That's not the love of Christ. That is not the love that is the very essence of our Heavenly Father. This is not the love that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and I this morning about, and I have taught so much on of recent date. Don't pretend to love others. Really agape them. Really seek their best and highest good. They will know if you are truly seeking their best, because they will notice you are making the sacrifice in some particular way for them. And the church has been taught this from the time that that our Lord Jesus walked with those who would make up the first church. Those 12 men, he spoke to them about this love. The love that the Jewish people were commanded by Moses, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your mind, and all your soul, and with all your strength, all of yourself. And the Jewish people missed it, or they refused to obey it. And we see that in the church today. Are we going to mimic Paul as he follows Christ, or are we going to mimic the Jews of the Old Testament and become that group of called out ones, the people of God, who are a false people? We are to be loving people, really. He then tells us, hate what is wrong. Hate what is wrong. If there's anything that we can hate, it's not the person sitting next to us ever. It's not someone who's at home right now that you're thinking of that you really are upset with. It's not a family member who let you down. Hate what is wrong, he says. We are to hate hating other people. We are to love our enemies. Jesus made that clear, didn't he? And to pray for them, didn't he? When was the last time you prayed for somebody you don't like? You know what'll happen? I know this from experience. over the course of time, weeks, maybe a month or so, but faithfully praying for that person's best and highest good. And if he, our Heavenly Father, wants to use me in that person's life to do something good and nice and above board for them, to actually take the steps necessary and do it, you will find that that hate goes away. You will find that you've been exercising agape love, which is like an order from our Heavenly Father. He says, I don't care how you feel about it. Do it. Do it. As you love me, love this person. Pray for them. It'll change. It will change. Hate what is wrong. Hate what was going to be spoken on today. Abortion. The murder of little children. Now, ladies, please understand, I know that in our church family, here and at home, ladies have had abortions. And you have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have been completely, absolutely, totally forgiven for that sin. Jesus loves you just like he loves any other person. Truly. Hate. Hate the fornicating that's going on in the church. We have people coming to church, serving in ministries. And I'll find out months later, maybe sometimes years later, that this sweet, loving couple, and I loved them then and I love them now, they were fornicating during the whole time. And you have to wonder, now I have a better understanding why things weren't going very well in their personal lives. Didn't know what it was. But the Lord wasn't going to bless them in their fornication, even though they were thinking they were doing something good by sneaking in ministry and going about doing it anyway. Hate what is wrong. Hate what's going on in our country today. Hate it. But pray for it. Pray for those that are doing the things that you hate. Make them top priority in your list of people that you pray for. You may be the very cause of the Holy Spirit ministering in that person's life and bringing them to faith in the Lord and changing their heart. Be what you want them to be. Pray for them. Hold tightly to what is good. Put your hands out like this, would you? Now, maybe make a fist. I mean a big fist. Hurt! Hurt! Hold tightly. Hold tightly, he says, to what is good. Hold tightly. Hold tightly to the fruit of the Spirit. Hold tightly to that love. Hold tightly to that joy and that peace. Hold tightly to be that woman, that man that is gracious and humble. Humble, American. Humble. Not arrogant. Not the big shot. Not the big whale in a little pool. Be that person who manifests the fruit of the Spirit, because it's so good. It changes your life. It's changed mine. It will help you to move along in that sanctification process of becoming someone who imitates Jesus himself. As you embrace that fruit of the Spirit, remember, you're a branch. And that fruit cannot be born on you unless you're attached to the vine. You know, John 15. And there you are, attached to the vine, and his juice, his Spirit, it's running through you. You have the ability to wow people. Wow, I've told you in the past about my two experiences in going back to class reunions. The first class reunion that, oh, this is your first wife. Yeah, it's only been 10 years. You know, most of my classmates are all on their second marriages. Those of you that have had divorces, please don't feel like I'm coming down on you. I'm not. I'm just talking about my experience. They were all so surprised that I'd been married 10 years. They knew Ron Seidel. They remember Ron Seidel. You see, Ron wasn't one of those little wallflowers in his class. Ron was one of those who was, well, he got in trouble often. I've told you about ditching school to go surfing and so forth. So we are to hold on to what is good very, very tightly. And remember my second experience. I forgot I was going to tell you about the two times we go back to class for that reunion. The second one, I'm no longer a police officer. That shocked them too. I was a cop. And then 10 years later, you're a pastor? You know, you can see them running this film through their mind. Ron Seidel, pastor. How does a Ron Seidel become a pastor? Because a Ron Seidel gets changed by God the Holy Spirit. That's how all of us get changed, by that DPE, the deep personal experience. And we listen to him, the whole tight to what is good. Philostorges here, as to one's immediate family, it says, love each other with genuine, not fake, but to Philostorges, love each other with genuine Philadelphia, a deep family, brotherly love that is filled with affection, is what he's saying here. Excuse me. When you look at this passage, do you see yourself being mirrored in there? That's me. I'm being changed too. I love this about me because it's him that he's doing these things in my life. Is that what you see? If you don't, it's coming. If you'll take action, and that you will have these gnosko moments, the DPE, and learn to enjoy those times with him and watch him change your life and the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the little ones become bigger and bigger. And before you know, my goodness, I'm just heavy laid down with being such a great person. Wouldn't that be nice? Affection. Do you have affection for the people in this room, family, that you know in here? Have you learned to have a deep affection for them? Good for you. But those of you that don't, I understand why you don't. You know, I couldn't love all of you with a deep affection because I have not been given the opportunity, not that I've turned it down, but I haven't been invited into your life. You know, for some of you, I'm your pastor. For some of you, I am the pastor. And that's a big difference. You know, my first 5 years of ministry as a pastor, I am the chaplain. I marry and I bury and listen to people moan and groan. But then moving into the sixth and seventh year, I become your pastor. Because you've gotten to know my heart. You know where I stand. You've had me into your home, Kathy and I, into your home to enjoy you and a meal and to hear where you're coming from. You pour your life into Kathy's and my life, and we are blessed by that, even if you've come from difficult places. And as we pour our life into you, you find out we are not these people on pedestals. We are real people. We have real kids that got into trouble, who've made terrible choices in their lives. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, you know, my family's a mess and my kids are making terrible choices and therefore we're terrible parents and so forth and so on. And you get to have Kathy and I just love on you where you are and to show you. I mean, think of Adam, my father, my great, 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 great father. He had everything. Everything he could want. And then, knowing better, he ate the fruit that was forbidden with his wife, and here we are. Perfect Father, Father God, perfect Father. And he messed up bad. And that sin follows right down to this very moment. Anyway, we need to have affection, and we need to proegomai, go forward, lead by example, outdo. We need to delight in honoring each other. We need to race. You want to beat me in doing wonderful things for other people. That's what we're being called to do with proegomai, to go forward, to lead by example. The lead by example in honoring each other. It's kind of like someone was saying the old, excuse me, the old joke. They talked about two guys and they're out hunting and here comes the bear. And the one fellow says to the other one, I think we better run. And the other one says, yeah, I think you're right. I'm really worried about this bear. Well, what are you really worried about, this bear? Well, you know, he could eat me. And he says, well, I'm not worried. All I have to do is outrun you. That's not delighting in honoring each other, is it? I can just see my brother Kelly now. He's got his bad feet. I've got my bad knee. I think I would beat you, little brother. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord. Never be lazy. Man, have you not seen some lazy people in ministry, in churches? People that won't even get in the ministry in the churches. Never be lazy, but work hard, he says. Work hard and serve the Lord. It is a joy to serve the Lord. It is wonderful to be able to do whatever he would like me as an individual to do for him, to serve him. You know, we're all in a tussle today over colors and races, and because we had in our distant past slavery. I am a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said of himself. I am a slave, a doulos of the Lord Jesus Christ by choice. By choice. Whatever he wants me to do, I'll do it. Because I am so grateful to him. I don't mind being a slave. He is not a taskmaster. He is not unloving. He is not mean. He is good. So good to us. And he says to serve the Lord enthusiastically. You know, we get the, part of this word is Greek. It comes from entheos, in God. We are to serve the Lord enthusiastically. Entheos, we're in God. Those of us who have been born again, we are in God. And so we should want to do whatever it is that he points out to us to get involved in ministry to do. Amen?
Amen.
Well, good. I've got the normal three questions in the message notes that I normally ask you. As we go through the message, I want you to ask yourself, what did I hear? What point in the message was most impactful for me? The second question is, what do you think? How did this message challenge, change, or affirm my thinking? And the last question is, what will you do? How will you put into practice what you have learned this morning? These are the questions to be asked as we move through this new short series that we're going to be in next Sunday. I then ask a question, do you ever find yourself engaged in conflict? Ever? Well, if you do, there are some wonderful things that Jesus will point out to you next Sunday. So you come back next Sunday. It won't be Seth, it'll be Ron. But this is Seth this morning for you, because he was the third son of Adam and Eve. So let's pray together, shall we, folks? Our gracious Father, I know it becomes cliché-ish to your ears, my Lord, but you are gracious. You give us so many things we don't deserve. Thank you. Thank you for manifesting your love in our lives through the lives of brothers and sisters who are truly desirous to imitate you in their life and to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, I want that for me. I want to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Please, may your Holy Spirit continue day by day to bring that whisper that can sound like a loud voice at times. I need to get with you. I need for you to speak into my life. I need to be better at this, so please help me to do it. Help me to be all that you want me to be. Help my church family, Father, to recommit their lives to you, if there's anyone who feels that they need to do that, to really recommit and to follow after the teachings that you have been presenting these last several weeks and this morning. And for those that have been committed to you and are growing wonderfully, Father, I thank you for them so much, for providing them as part of our church family, as examples for us to look to and to lift up and to thank you for and to follow after. So, Father, We want so very much to love others, really, to hate the things that you hate, and to love the things that you love, and that we will be committed to holding tightly to those things which are good, for if we don't hold tightly, your goodness seems to slip away and we move from the spirit back into the flesh. So, Father, may we agape one another. May we find ourselves, philos, storgos, in each other. May we be paragamai, really outdoing our spouses, outdoing our children, outdoing our parents in honoring each other. For I ask these things enthusiastically in the name of the name that is above every name, the name we sang about this morning, the name of him whom we came to worship this morning, your Son, our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus. Amen.